Welcome back. I am Josh Felber, and you've been watching Making Bank. I'm really excited today. We have an unbelievable entrepreneur on the show for you today. His name is Mike Dillard. He lives in Austin, Texas, and built his first million-dollar business by the age of 27. Teaching small business owners how to effectively market their products and services online using attraction marketing strategies. Then in 2010, Mike founded a financial education company in order to teach others how to achieve financial freedom through investment strategies commonly reserved for the wealthy. We all need that. Combined, his businesses have produced over a total more than $50 million in revenue without any outside funding. And today, Mike dedicates his time to mentoring other entrepreneurs, developing technologies in the aeroponics industry that will give people around the world access to clean, healthy, organic food at a fraction of today's prices. And then he has lots of cool things that he does in his free time, from Baja racing to hanging out at his ranch and fishing. Mike, welcome to Making Bank.
Yeah, glad to be here, Josh. Looking forward to it.
Cool. Well, I guess let's just start off. Tell me a little bit about your history, you know, a quick history of how you became an entrepreneur and what got you started.
Sure. I think the story started in high school when I used to wait tables at the original Romano's Macaroni Grill in Burney, Texas, before it was a chain.
Wow.
And I was mountain biking professionally at that point in my life, and I needed money to fund that. So I would wait tables on the weekends, and I would come home, you know, around midnight, 1 o'clock, smelling like food, tired, sweaty, and all of that. But not ready to go straight to bed, so I'd sit in the living room at my parents' house and turn on television at that time of night, and you see one thing typically, which is infomercials from guys like Tony Robbins and sure. and all of those folks who were out there. And here I am coming home from a job that was a ton of work for very little money, and I was definitely open to the idea of figuring out how to make more money and with less work. So I kind of got hooked on the idea of entrepreneurship through that channel. My first business that I ever started, or exposure to that, really was in the network marketing industry back okay. in the late 90s in college. Loved the idea of leverage and all of that stuff, passive income that you can build in that industry. But I had an extremely tough time for the first 5 or 6 years. Didn't make a dime. Probably switched companies, you know, 10 to 12 times.
Right.
And I was super shy and super introverted. So I was the absolute worst personality profile that you could ever stick in network marketing, because that's such a people-based, relationship-based business. So I had to figure out how to make it work for me and my personality type after 5 years of failure. And so I came across direct response marketing, guys like Dan Kennedy and Yannick Silver, and online marketing. You know, this is Web 1.0 days when Google AdWords just, you know, started to come out.
Right.
And so I learned how to create online marketing pieces and sales letters that would really do all of the telling and selling and recruiting for me, so that the only time I ever talked to a person at that point was once they had all of the information, maybe they had a question or two, but 99% you know, ready to go ahead and sign up and get started. So that really revolutionized the way I pursued the business, and I decided to write a training manual about it called Magnetic Sponsoring. It kind of took off on its own like wildfire. I started selling copies of it for $40 a piece that I had printed at Kinko's. Nice. And within a month or two, I was selling probably 50 copies of that a day.
Wow.
So that's around $60,000 a month. All that's of a awesome. Sudden, you know, out of nowhere from selling a book. And that book really just outlined my strategy for what is essentially an attraction marketing, you know, business model. How do you become the hunted instead of the hunter? And so went on to become the number one distributor and passive income earner in my company, you know, after I applied that strategy. And after the network marketing days, you know, I'd really done everything that I'd set out to do in that industry. I, you know, really started to focus on the money side of the house, which everybody in that world talks about how to make money, because that's obviously the first step and why everybody's involved in any kind of entrepreneurial endeavor.
Right.
They want to change their financial situation. But what is really never talked about is, what do you do with the money that you make once you do make it? And we all have our dream boards with our cars and our boats and our dream house. And so the money comes in and the money goes out to fulfill all of those dreams that have fueled us and provided that ambition. And then all of a sudden you're out of money again. And so I decided that I needed to educate myself in that world and change that. So in the end of 2010, beginning of 2011, I started really an online diary. It was a private membership area where I would do an interview once a month with a mentor in the financial world. And these were typically entrepreneurs who had bridged that gap and not only learned how to make money, but then how to invest it, keep it, save it, and grow it. And I wanted to figure out how do the wealthy invest, because if you want to become wealthy, you have to invest like the wealthy.
Right.
And so that did really, really well. We sold access to that for $97 a month or $600 for the year. And in the first 7 days, we brought on over 8,600 customers.
Wow.
In the first week, and over $3 million in revenue in 7 days, eight-figure business within the first 12 months. And yeah, so that went on for about 3 years and had its ups and its downs. And now I'm really focused on, you know, building an even bigger business that can impact more people, which is the hydroponics company that I'm working on these days, which is essentially designed to solve the problem of high-cost organic food. So you're a healthy guy. I'm a healthy eater.
Right.
Fortunately, you and I can afford to eat at Whole Foods and buy all of our produce there. But as for the other 95% of the population, if you're buying your fruits and veggies at a conventional supermarket, you're eating poison. The average bunch of spinach has 54 different pesticide residues on it. It's insane.
I know.
So the fact that the average American family is out there trying to eat healthy and they're eating vegetables and feeding their kids this stuff and they're ingesting poison on a daily basis because they can't afford food without poison on it just pisses me off. And I think it's just unacceptable. And I think there's a huge opportunity there. So we've been building a system for the last 2 years that will ideally change that. And you'll put it in your house. It'll grow over $5,000 a year in organic produce right there in your kitchen for less than $500. So it reduces your food costs by 90%. It reduces the entire supply chain. All of the pesticides that go into the ground out in the farms goes away. It reduces water consumption over traditional agriculture by 90%. All of the pollution from the 18-wheelers and everything in between, and it starts and ends in your kitchen. So it's a big endeavor, but the win is worth it as well. So that's kind of my story in a nutshell.
Cool. That's awesome. I'm excited to learn a little bit more about the aeroponics stuff that you're doing. I know we briefly talked about it a few months ago. And so,
Well, I'll show you, a picture of it when we're done here. And,
cool.
It's getting pretty cool.
Awesome. Yeah. So tell me, I know, so you got started watching infomercials, the good old Tony Robbins. I remember watching them on TV and diving in myself, but when you got into the network marketing, I mean, you sat there and struggled for 5 years. I mean, what really kept you going? Because a lot of people would probably bail after the first 6-12 months.
The alternative of working for somebody else for the rest of my life was even more unbearable.
Okay.
You know, I mean, really, really, it was it. I was at a place where I was literally willing to die trying. I was either going to make it or I was going to continue to try for as long as it takes until it killed me or whatever it may be, because the alternative of giving up and surrendering, you know, all of my hopes and dreams in life, it's just, it's not an alternative. So,
for sure.
The big transition point for me in that, kind of once I figured this out, I went from waiting tables at a P.F. Chang's in San Antonio to making my first $1 million within about 18 months after those 5 or 6 years, was realizing that the opportunity itself is not the opportunity, meaning the company, the products, the compensation plan, none of that is going to bring the success that I wanted.
Right.
And it took me, again, 5 years to figure that out. And I think it takes a lot of people, you know, the same kind of thing, because you bought into this opportunity presentation and the product and you're like, man, this is going to make $1 million. And it's like, if as long as you have that, then that's all you need. It's just not the case. So, you know, I'd go to these meetings and I'd see all of these people in every single company I went to who were walking across stage and making money. And right. I was like, what am I missing here? And what I was missing is the fact that all of these individuals had mastered a skill set of some kind, whether that was presenting at a hotel meeting or presenting from stage or presenting and recruiting people over the phone, whatever it may be, they had all mastered a skill. And I had not. And so I decided to change that. And the first skill that I mastered was copywriting. So I spent about a year, year and a half behind every book and course that I could on copywriting. I would sit at home late at night and handwrite out really effective sales letters that I'd seen online and print it out. And that's what changed everything, because for the very first time in my life, I now had the ability to effectively sell my opportunity or my products, which in the past I didn't. I was just keeping my fingers crossed. And so once I acquired that skill set, I could execute on my own timeline, you know, as much as I wanted. I could scale my efforts using Google AdWords. And instead of, you know, presenting the business to 10 leads a night over the phone and trying to convince these people to start a business, I could present the opportunity to 1,000 people a day using Google AdWords and really have them qualify themselves. And so that, for me, is the answer to the question that you and I probably both always get, which is, what's the secret to success?
Right.
and the secret is, you have to acquire a skill set and become the master of something. And it needs to be aligned with you and your personality style. Meaning that I am not built for analytics or numbers. I failed all of my math and finance classes in college 2 to 3 times each. I had to retake them in summer school every single summer for 5 years. And so looking at spreadsheets, you know, doing traffic campaigns, going through data on a daily basis, I just am not built for that.
Right.
And so what I am built for is writing. And I just figured out that that's where my talent lies. Other people, like, let's say, Gary Vaynerchuk, who I saw gave you that shout out today.
Thanks.
is built for person to person, you know, speaking from stage, speaking from the camera. That's his talent. Where if he had to write a sales letter like I did or a webinar, I'd probably, you know, excel in that format. So really figuring what you're built for and then mastering a skill set that's aligned with that is the key to, it's the key to success. So
definitely. And I think, you know, that's the biggest thing is a lot of people, they don't really drive home and try to really figure out what those strengths are that they have.
Yeah.
And, you know, they just kind of keep floundering or looking for those shortcuts to try to bypass everything. So can you stick around for a minute? We got to take a quick break.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Of course.
I am Josh Felber. You're watching Making Bank, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm cooking up a fresh batch of my Sun Up Before Sun Protector. Last year, my family headed off to the sunny beaches of Riviera Maya for a much-needed vacation. But I knew I wouldn't enjoy myself if we were smothering our skin with ingredients that cause reproductive disorders, hormonal imbalances, even cancer. Kind of takes that feeling out of a beautiful day, right? Now you can make every beautiful day delicious to your skin by using Sun Up Before Sun Protector by Primal Life Organics.
Welcome back. I am Josh Felber, and you're watching Making Bank. And we've been speaking with Mike Dillard and where he's come as an entrepreneur, as well as what couple of his success strategies, focusing on your strengths, as well as, you know, putting in the time, putting in the work to learn and understand whatever you're learning to take it to the next level. So Mike, welcome back to Making Bank.
Absolutely.
Well, cool. So we talked a little bit about, you know, diving in and getting the strengths. When you guys went and launched your financial product, you know, did you guys do that from cold? Did you have a big list built? I mean, because, you know, $3.2 million in 7 days is a good substantial launch.
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, I obviously had a list for my network marketing days.
Sure.
And I want to say that was probably around 200,000 people. But I think the biggest reason that was as successful as it was is timing. We had really tapped into the zeitgeist at the end of 2010 of what everybody had just gone through in the crash of 2008. It was all anyone was thinking about. Nobody was putting out a solution yet. I mean, I remember, you know, the average advice from your typical financial advisor to my parents and their friends was, don't worry, just invest more money. And you know, maybe it'll work out, maybe it won't, but it's not really an answer that you want to hear. It doesn't empower you. It doesn't give you confidence. You just have to keep your fingers crossed that maybe everything will come back. And so we really tapped into that zeitgeist. It was on the forefront of the entire planet, and we were offering a unique solution that nobody else in the world was. We were approaching this from a very layman's type of of vocality and verbality, meaning normal people speak. We weren't coming at you like a financial advisor or like an economist using charts and graphs and whatever it may be. It, you know, we approached it just like a normal person, so it was very relatable to everyone. And unlike most other financial newsletters, we didn't put really anything in print format or written format. Everything was done in video. Okay. So one of the lessons that I'll share with everyone here, when I had this idea, the first thing I thought was, okay, let's go see what the top three guys in the industry are doing. Let's go buy all their products. Let's see what we like, and then let's see what we don't like. And how can we stand out from the crowd? Because that's a huge, it's a billion, the financial newsletter industry is a $1 billion industry. Wow. So how can I come into that world with absolutely zero experience, zero expertise? I'm literally coming at this from a reference and a frame of, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just interested in this topic and I want to figure out a solution for my life. And if you want to join me on this journey, you're welcome to join. That was the pitch.
Cool.
And so that was it. It was, let's use layman terminology. Let's not use charts and graphs. Let's put everything in video because everybody else is doing writing. And let's take a camera crew on location to wherever these people are that we're interviewing and turn this into an adventure and a journey that people can join us on rather than getting a boring newsletter that shows up in their inbox once a month. So I think all of those things combined were the reasons that was so successful.
No, and that's, you know, and that's extremely important, is that, you know, when you're diving in with a new venture and everything like that, is, you know, really taking a look at what the other people are doing in the marketplace, you know, those top ones. And, you know, in, like you said, buying the courses, you know, going in to see what they're doing exactly, and then figuring out the, I guess, the holes or and what their strengths and everything are, and then how to make it better. Almost kind of like you'd utilize like a blue ocean strategy for what you guys are doing. So,
yeah, I mean, absolutely. And you know, the hydroponic stuff, it's the same thing. When I had this idea and saw this opportunity, I went and bought every product that I could, put them in my house, started growing stuff with them. Saw all of the problems that they had and made my list of solutions where if I could build my dream setup, what would it be? And then we spec that out, and that's eventually become the product. And so it's pretty, you know, it's a very intentional, conscious approach to building a business, and that really determines what your marketing plan is going to be, how you're going to offer your product to the market. And it's what creates the space, if you will, for your piece of pie in that niche. So that's really how it's done.
No, that's awesome. So tell me a little bit about what are some of the key, I don't know, books or, you know, mentors that you've, you know, connected with that really help you along the way?
Well, it's interesting. It changes in every phase of your career, meaning when you're first starting out as an entrepreneur, you've got to rewire your brain to think completely differently. You got to swap out your software. And so in that phase of my life, it was the traditional personal development stuff. Tony Robbins, Get the Edge, Think and Grow Rich. You know, all of those typical books and audio courses where you're listening to them in your car, on your headset, at the gym, and you just immerse yourself in a different way of thinking. Yeah. And that, you know, for me, took a good 5 years. While I was going through that learning curve. After that, the skill set changes. You now need to be able to execute. Once you have the belief in yourself, you've got to be able to execute those beliefs. And so at that point, transitioning to skill-based education, learning how to write copy, learning how to write ads, learning how to code a website, all of those things, which I would say is another 5 years. Once you learn how to market and sell and execute and actually build a business, you know, pretty much anyone can build a seven-figure business today by themselves, whether it's a podcast, a YouTube channel, a single product, an ebook, whatever it may be. The world is big enough and the internet is accessible enough to where you can take one product and make $1 million a year on it. But if you want to grow beyond that, the third phase that I've run into is that in order to take an idea or the sale of a product on a daily basis and transition that into an actual growing, scalable company with employees and teams, the skill set is completely the opposite. You have to force yourself from being the guy that makes the sales and creates the products to delegation and leadership. And it's totally opposite. And so, you know, that's really what I'm focused on now, you know, specifically for this company is how do I scale to $100 million a year business and over? So I have been reading a lot by Cameron Harold. His book Double Double is absolutely fantastic. I actually recently hired him as a coach. You know, on my podcast, a lot of the guys that I interview have built $100 million plus companies. You know, Josh Bazzoni and Chase Jarvis and all of these guys. And my intention for interviewing them is to figure out how they made that transition. And so far, we had a little bit of success in the financial company with that. We got up to about 12 employees, but we never quite cracked it. We definitely made some mistakes. And that kind of you know, dwindled out over 3 to 4 years. So those are really the three phases that I've seen in my career as far as how you have to approach your business and your personal development.
No, and that's, you know, and I think you hit it right on, because you know, as you grow and as you mature in business and, you know, with that, I mean, you always want to always continuously be learning along the way, but there's those different phases, as you mentioned, and I've noticed myself along the same transition path as you, you know, as you said. So, and, you know, Cameron Harold has, you know, some awesome insights with what he's doing and everything. So that's really cool. You brought him on as a mentor and coach for yourself.
I mean, you have to. The alternative is to pay the stupid tax, and everybody pays the stupid tax at all times. The question is, are you going to pay it in a really big way or a really little way? And if you want to do things on your own, you're going to pay a huge stupid tax. Where I can go spend, you know, a nice bit of money with Cameron on a monthly basis, and I may spend that money with him, but my stupid tax is going to be infinitely smaller. So you really just have to be smart about where you put your money, and investing in education and coaches and mentors and other ways is the smartest investment you can ever make, because I guarantee you the stupid tax will be infinitely bigger if you don't.
I'm right there with you. I mean, I've always had either some kind of business coach or mentor myself, you know, along for the good majority of my business career.
Have to. So the moment you think you're beyond that or over that, or you know enough, is the moment you start fading into obscurity.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Well, tell me a little bit about, I kind of dive into your aeroponics and what you're doing, and, you know, how it's going to help revolutionize the, you know, organic food industry a little bit more.
Well, what I'd like to encourage everyone who's watching and listening to this to consider is that we all have the exact same amount of time in our day. Let's just say we all have 12 hours a day that we apply to our work efforts, whether that is at your job, and, you know, it could be a janitor at a high school, or whether that's as a doctor or in sales or as a solo entrepreneur, or, you know, as Tony Robbins or the, you know, CEO of a Fortune 500 company. We all have the exact number of hours in the same day. The result and the reward that we get from those hours is different only because of how we decide to apply that time and what we decide to work on. And I would venture to say that all of us work equally hard, whether you're putting in sweat equity or, you know, working on your business. We're putting in the same hours, putting in the same amount of effort, and yet the difference can be, you know, $40,000 a year in income or $10 million, $100 million a year in income. And it's just making the decision on what you want to apply those efforts to. So why wouldn't you apply them to the biggest, boldest idea that you could possibly imagine? Because you're going to be doing the work either way. You might as well go for the biggest prize possible. And so that's traditionally how I've thought about my business endeavors, is once I've, you know, 3 to 4 years or 5 years have gone by and I've built out that company, the next question is, how can I think bigger and build bigger and make a bigger impact? And so that's really what the hydroponic stuff is about for me. And, you know, it's about the legacy that I want to leave. So when I'm 70, 80 years old, what can I have spent my time on and brought to the world that will really make me feel like I contributed in a really meaningful way? So that's kind of the question that I ask myself. And, you know, for that answer, if I can put clean, healthy, pesticide-free food back on, you know, the dinner table for families at a price that everybody can afford, that to me is a life well, you know, well lived. So that's really my driving goal behind it. And, you know, It's again, it's, you know, tapping into a zeitgeist as well. The health industry right now is huge. The organics sure. industry is huge. The GMO industry is huge. Everybody hates Monsanto, blah, blah, blah. You know, vaccines, like, but everybody's becoming very conscious of what they're putting into their body. And what's interesting is that the market and these corporations have created this opportunity because they have started to put so many artificial ingredients into food that natural clean food is now a rarity. And so that's what's created the value proposition and the opportunity here. So the next question is, well, how can we make that easy? How right. can we make this simple? How can we automate this? And there are products that you can put in your house right now that will grow food for you, you know, hydroponically, but they're a pain in the ass. It's like taking care of a fish tank. You have to balance the pH every day. You have to try and figure out how much, you know, nutrients you should add to the water as you refill it up, how to control pests, how to, you know, you've got to clean it out for mold once every, you know, month or two. You've got to put lights in your house that are totally, you know, a pain in the butt. So the concept was there. The market was there. I went and verified, you know, the sales of what I would say is the only viable product or quasi-competitor out there in the market before we even started down this path. And they're doing a lot of revenue. And so, great. They've proven that there's a customer base out there for a product like this. How can we just fix all of the flaws and make something that's awesome and easy that people would love and want to use? And so that's what we've spent the last year and a half doing. And, you know, that's, it's pretty neat. It's totally automated. It has Wi-Fi, it has an app. And so all you do is drop in the little seed pods that we sell you, and it'll grow 36 plants at a time, 160 different species. And everything is automated, from the lighting to the pH balancing to the nutrient dosing. And it will essentially replace your trip to the produce section of Whole Foods. And instead of spending $5 on a head of hydroponic, you know, butter lettuce there, it'll, you know, cost you about 50 cents to a dollar. Awesome. So I have zero experience in hydroponics. I have zero experience in growing anything. when I came up with this, the first thing I did was go to Amazon and buy, you know, 3, 4, 5 books on hydroponics and gardening. That's literally where I started. And then it was Googling industrial design firms, because I've never built a physical product before in my entire life. I had no idea where to start. And I'm telling that to people because just because you don't know anything doesn't sure. mean that that's a reason why you can't right. do it. You know, if I'm buying ebooks on this topic and literally Googling design firms, anybody can do anything. It's kind of, it reminds me of Richard Branson's story, if you've read it, about you know, his founding of Virgin Airlines.
Oh yeah.
Where he and his business partner said, "We want to start an airline because everybody else sucks and we're tired of flying on their airline." And they spent the next 3 days reading everything that they could about how to start an airline and how that industry worked. So that's not a viable excuse for you or anybody else when it comes to bringing whatever dream you have in your head to life, and don't let it be one. And so since then, it's been a process of, you know, over the last year designing that. We're designing it with Whipsaw in California, out in Silicon Valley, the one of the top three industrial design firms in the country. And it's just a learning process. You know, I'm bringing on the smartest people I can find in the hydroponics industry, you know, as consultants. So they are really bringing their expertise on that side of the house. And the goal is to pull off the largest Kickstarter campaign in history at the beginning of next year when we bring this to the market, and to really transform the way people grow and eat produce. So,
yeah, that's awesome, and it's you know, I think it's definitely needed, because I've looked at some of the other systems that are out there and everything, and you know, there are. It's hard for us to keep plants alive sometimes here. So
totally.
So a fully automated system would be a perfect setup for that. So what, so you mentioned, you know, just brand new field for you. And I think when we had talked before briefly, you talked about you put most of your other businesses on hold to dive into this venture, right?
Well, you know what, my plan was to take the money that I had saved up and to dedicate all of my time and all of that money into the development of this product. But I quickly learned within about 5 or 6 months that it's going to take longer than expected. There's a rule that I've come to know, unfortunately, very well over my career as an entrepreneur, which is the rule of 3X. And the rule of 3X, that means that when you're developing anything, whether it's a product, specifically software and things like that, it's going to take you 3 times longer and cost you 3 times more than you ever thought.
Right.
And that has been the case absolutely bar none with everything that I've ever done. And this product is proving to be the same as well. And so we were originally supposed to launch next month.
Oh, wow.
When we started this a year ago. And now, it'll be at least another 9 more months. And at the end of the day, you've got one shot to make a positive first impression on the market and to have all of the reviews about this product, you know, be in your favor.
Sure.
And so we just have to make sure that it's done right, even if we have to delay it, as long as we have to delay it. But that delay costs money. So I announced to the world about a year ago that I was retiring. I was not going to do, you know, the marketing expert, you know, role anymore, educator anymore. And that lasted 4 months, and I was like, oh, shit, I'm running out of cash. That was a mistake. And I did it because I wanted to burn the bridge and say there's no going back to myself and to my audience
right.
to show my commitment level. But that was a mistake in hindsight, because the only threat to this project is running out of money.
Sure.
And I could take investors, but when you know you have what is, you know, in my case, going to be the biggest win of my career as an entrepreneur, selling any amount of equity at all is going to come back to cost me 100x in value, right? Versus what
right.
I sell those shares for now versus what they're going to be worth in, let's say, 2 years. So the smartest thing that I can do is to keep funding that myself, which is not inexpensive. And so I had to come out probably 3 months ago and say, I'm sorry, I messed up, made a mistake. And I try to do that in the most transparent way possible and just really use it as a lesson learned for my audience and other entrepreneurs out there. Here's what I did. Here's the mistake I made. Here's what I've learned from it. And here's how you can prevent doing that yourself. So, you know, other than a bruised ego on my end, the consequences of that are, you know, really nothing in my mind. But that was the biggest lesson learned, which is you've got to have a business and producing cash flow on a consistent basis that can fund the next phase of your career and,
right.
and your dream, if you will. So never kill the golden cow, if you will, that's feeding you. And so that was the big one. Yeah.
Cool. So I guess tell me what's the best advice you've ever received?
Best advice I've ever received. I don't know if it was advice that I was given. You know, one of the things that pop into my head that a mentor shared with me back in my network marketing days is the more you give away, the more you get to keep. Meaning the more you give to the marketplace as far as value goes freely, the more you're going to get back. I'm sure you've experienced that here with
sure.
the podcast and the opportunities it's created. Really accepting that and then diving into it and just starting to put out content for free back in my early days, demonstrating leadership, teaching people things was a huge turning point in my career. It's what started to attract and build my audience for the very first time. So that was huge. And then the skill set piece is as well. If you're sitting there twiddling your fingers, wasting time, if you've been attempting to make money as an entrepreneur for 5 years and you've gotten no further along that goal, it means that you have not increased your value to the world in a manner that, you know, is aligned with making more money. So that's when the whole skill set piece comes into play. All of us and the amount of money that we make is directly related to the amount of value that we bring to the world. And so there are some people who have an unbelievable amount of value, but they don't have a lot of leverage. And a great example of that is a brain surgeon. If you're dying of brain cancer, whatever it may be, there's only maybe a couple of dozen people in the entire country who can save your life. And so the amount of value that they bring to those patients is huge. And the number of other people with their area of expertise is next to nothing. And so they can charge almost whatever they want. But there is ultimately a cap because they can only perform 1 to 2 procedures a day.
Right.
So they don't have leverage of scale. When it comes to the opposite end of the spectrum, you or I have a particular skill set that we've acquired. Let's just call it sales and marketing. And we are using the internet to increase our scale as much as we possibly can. And so that's how guys like you and I, who are nowhere near as smart as brain surgeons, can make 10 to 50 times more money than they can. It's because we simply have scale. And so the question I would ask yourself is, how can you increase your value to the world? It's very simple. It's by acquiring rare and valuable skill sets, and ideally skill sets that are applied in a way that have the biggest and widest impact possible on as many people as possible. And that really is the key to building a, 7, 8, 9, 10 figure business.
Awesome. Some great advice. I think the value is creation portion and being able to give as much as you can, is a definite. I mean, that's just the way you have to be to really generate that connection with people, I think. So,
yeah, agreed. And if you don't, go out and acquire that rare skill set. There's a lot of people who can wait tables. It doesn't take a lot of skill. That's why you don't make a lot of money doing that. So my first piece of advice when I get contacted by people on Facebook or my blog or whatever it may be, and they're in the situation and they need to make more money, they've been struggling in their business for 3 years, is, well, what skill set have you mastered? And 100% of the time, the answer is none.
Yeah.
It's like, there's your problem. And it's not going to change until you change that. So
definitely. How about one piece of technology you couldn't live without?
Jing. Jingproject.com. J-I-N-G project.com. It is like ScreenFlow or Camtasia, but it's a little app that sits on your desktop, Mac or PC. And it is a screen and audio capture tool that will let you record for 5 minutes, and then it's a one-click share. So it uploads to their cloud, and then it automatically gives you a link that you can then send to somebody in email or Skype or whatever it may be. So when I'm dealing with programmers, designers, or really anyone that I need to communicate something to, and having a visual or an audio will help make that more effective,
sure.
Literally Jing, and it's free, is the single best tool that I use every single day. Couldn't live without it. So other than that, I'm not really a big app guy. I have Evernote for kind of basic note keeping. But I'd have to say Jing is the one that I use every single day.
Cool. Awesome. That's excellent. I wasn't familiar with that one, and I'd definitely download that and add it to my Mac right away. So
yeah, you'll absolutely love it. So for sure.
Excellent. Well, we're about out of time, so I appreciate you coming on the show today, Mike, and being able to really connect and share tons of your wisdom with our audience. So thanks again for coming on Making Bank.
Awesome. Thank you guys for having me. It's always a pleasure, Josh. And I hope this was of value to some, and would love to read the comments here below the video. And if you guys have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them for you.
Awesome. I am Josh Felber, and you are watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.